Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live tonight right here on WWRB 3.185. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great message for you, part two, if you will, of angels' functions. We're going to get right into the message on the part two. Now, we talked about the divine measuring rod. An angel is like a measuring rod. They reveal the many mysteries of Yahweh, and that would naturally describe what angels are for, ministering spirits. Now, to whom? Well, Yahweh himself is omnipresent. Angels are not. They are sent for specific mission, and they are monitored for their performance. Yahweh judges angels. Now repeat that. The book of Jude says that the angels that sinned, Yahweh basically would require their sins, they were shut up, till the day, reserved, the Bible said, till the day of judgment. Now, were they first created before the physical creation? That's the question. Question number two tonight we're going to deal with, did angels have any part in creating the physical creation along with Yahweh? Is Yahweh the supreme being with angels subject unto him? Do they have an order and a purpose? One of the things that we would cover in this series is, can an angel engage in sexual intercourse with physical beings? One of the more weightier questions, how did Satan fall from heaven, and did he reign over the angelic host prior to his fall? In other words, was he one of the master angels, or was he the master angel? Was he second in command? If there is a, if you could call him that powerful. We know he was very powerful, and we'll explain that later. Strong's Concordance and Harper's Encyclopedia of Mystical and Paranormal Experience both state that the word angel is derived from the Greek word angelos and the Latin word angelus, which means simply messenger. The Greek and the Latin versions of the word angel are used mostly in the New Testament. The original Hebrew word for angel was the malach, and appears in the Old Testament. Malach originally meant shadow side of God. Now listen to that. Malach originally in the Hebrew means the shadow side of God. So the New Testament would describe them as ministering spirits. And the Old Testament, Malach, would originally mean that standing in the shadow of God, waiting for the command. But later, that word became to mean messenger, according to Malcolm Goodwin's book on angels and endangered species that was copyrighted in 1990. Angels also described as followers, sons of God, Elohim, holy ones, watchers, the host of heaven. Mentioned in 1 Kings 22:19 and Psalms 89:7. Now, let me tell you how powerful these angels are. They could be described as messengers, or they could also be described truthfully as warriors. The host of heaven. Now, even the Messiah talked quite a bit about angels, a lot more than people realize when you really get to looking into the word angel, their application, their purposes, when they were created, what they were created for, and what they do by standing, basically, as the original Hebrews, in the shadow of Yahweh, waiting for His command. And when Yahweh sends one of them, they get the job done. You can believe that. One angel, to tell you how warlike they are. And this amazes me. And this is why I don't worry too much about who's going to run the world or who's going to rule the world in the end. When Yahweh said Himself that He beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven, that if you was to analyze that statement and really examine it in its full content and context, that is an incredible statement. I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Now, one angel came down at the command, standing in the shadow of Yahweh, and I do believe it was Micah, or Michael, the war angel. Now, Gabriel is a messenger angel. We've talked about those two angels, and there was a triad, if you will, of holy angels. Michael is named as the war angel. Gabriel is named as the messenger angel, and Satan was basically described as the musical director in heaven. Musical director. He's the author of music and praise. And all of this praise began to come up to Yahweh, and in a way, he got jealous. He got envious. I guess that's a better word. Remember I said last night in the introduction that angels can be jealous and envious and hateful and they can be lustful? All these things sounds like that they were made sort of in the manner that man was made. We're capable of sin, and so are they. We are capable of obedience, and so are they. We're capable, if you really look at it, we're capable of declaring the whole counsel, but so are they. Now, they don't know everything. Not even the angels know the time of His coming. That will be given to them. And the Bible says when He comes back, He will bring them with Him. Now, I want to expound on that just a little bit because I've got a lot to say about that later on. When He returns, every angel in heaven, every one of them, Matthew 25, verse 30 through 35, describes that Yahweh, when He comes from heaven, will bring all, not a few. At this time, it's going to be such a spectacular event. Not one angel would dare to miss it. Let me tell you something more astounding. Not one saint that's passed on into what we call the beyond is going to miss it either. Those who have died and gone on and translated into the heavens are going to come back with Him, for those that remain will not prevent them at sleep, for Yahweh is going to bring them with Him. Every one of them. So, listen. Let me tell you something. Heaven is going to be emptied of both saints, those that's passed on and earned the right to stand in His presence, and worship Him and sing and praise and honor Him and rest day and night. All of those in heaven are coming. What a happy day. What are they coming for? What is the occasion that they don't want to miss coming from heaven? Well, it's quite simple. They don't want to miss because it's the day of vengeance. You say, the day of vengeance? Well, that's what the Bible said. He's coming back. Repeat after me. Yahweh and all, A-L-L, all of His saints. This is incredible. I've expanded this now to give you a view of what it's going to be like or what it is going to be in the end time when He comes and says, time shall be no more. When that holy angel that is seen in Revelation, when he puts one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and when he declares that time will be no longer. Oh my. Every angel, every saint, both in the heavens and on earth, is going to be at this gathering of those that are coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not Yahweh, taking vengeance on them that know not Yahweh and obey not His gospel that is spoken through the prophets, for He will not say anything to anyone at any time except He first reveal it to the prophets. Oh my, I'm beginning to feel the divine Shekinah. That day is going to be a coronation day. That day is going to be like a reunion. That day is going to be like a slaughter. You saints that want to rapture out and miss something like this, this holy day, man, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Because that's how you're going to be there if you give up the world, if you don't love the world. If you refrain your mouth from speaking evil, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, or the Holy Ghost, as we say in the Pentecostal church, it's going to be a wonderful time with this great, momentous, awesome, gigantic, it has to be, totally. It's never happened. This is a one-time event that I don't want to miss, and neither do you. Now, the Bible says, in that day, to look up. In that day, do not be eaten and drinking with the drunken. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Be sure that your lights are burning. That means your spiritual antenna is hosted or masted up to receive the signals of the time sequence that you would know of His coming. The signs will indicate it. Are we in the last days, Pastor Buddy? Of course. Could it go on another 1,000 years, Pastor Buddy? Of course. You say, well, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to go on 1,000 years. You're going to have to give an account for the days that you're here now. Be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. Whatever you sow now is what you'll reap in the future. If you're blind now and refuse the light, you'll stay blind then. If you love him now, you'll love him then. If you don't love him now, you won't love him then. If you sow to the flesh now, that's where he'll catch you in the flesh when he comes back. If you're a high Elohim, a spirit being, and you figured out these mysteries and you know the truth, then it's evident that you will not be destroyed for the lack of knowledge like most people will be. And these angels are sent to minister to you. How do you think you get your spiritual thoughts? You seek Yahweh. And if Yahweh approves the enlightenment or the enhancement of your understanding, the Bible said, with knowledge, get understanding. We just preached on that a couple of weeks ago. And it's the angels that transmits the information to you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I told you this in a roundabout way last night, that you put off every weight and sin that so easily besets you. Yahweh loves people that will seek him. One of the ways to seek him, now there's different ways, and I'm not saying this is the only way, but this is a supercharged way. This is the way of overdriving. This is the way of prayer and supplication. Now, the Bible said, and they prayed and made supplication. You know what supplication is? Fasting. Seeking him. Desiring him with all your heart. And the Bible specifically says, seek Yahweh in the days of your youth. I remember when I was young, I read that scripture, and I really took it to heart. I literally took it to heart. And I would be sitting and watching something on like the television or at a movie. And I would think, how foolish this is. What a waste of time. And my heart would be condemned. And then the next week I would try to make of it by seeking him and by fasting and praying. Now, what's the advantage of those that listen to carnality? They can tell you a joke behind every word. They don't miss a word with the jokes they know. They know more jokes than they know scriptures. Where your treasure is, and the angels are recording. I'm going to repeat this. Every hair on your head is numbered, and every word that you speak is recorded. Every one of them. Therefore, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. And now you see what the purpose and the function of they that stand in the shadow of Elohim Yahweh. They're ministering spirits. Your life is either for you or against you. You're either cold or hot. You're in or out. You can't be on the fence. You can't straddle it. You can't be lukewarm. If you are, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. And so then, with knowledge, pray that the angelic host will minister to you and give you understanding of this great, it's like a nuclear fuel. Did you know that some of the great battleships and aircraft carriers that the United States has in its possession, that the reason that the United States Navy is number one in the world, they have a unique system of nuclear reactors that only needs charging every 25 to 30 years. They can sail all over the world. Matter of fact, they cross the ocean, crisscross the ocean, and don't have to be fueled for up to 30 years. It's amazing. Well, think about something that is beyond nuclear energy. Think about the Holy Spirit. Once it is placed in you, and then you cultivate it, in other words, the reactor is your desires. I'll give you, listen to me now, I'll give you through spiritual messengers, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, it's powerful. I didn't realize at the time that I was fasting and praying. I can't do it now like I used to do it. And I look back now, and I thank Yahweh that I was able at the time, what little fasting and praying I did it with all my heart. I would go to work hungry. I would come back hungry. I'd go to work hungry. I'd come back hungry. I'd go to work hungry. I'd come back hungry. I'd go to work hungry. Come back hungry. I'd go to work hungry. That went on for as many as 40 days at the time. 14 days. 12 days. 21 days. I was looking for the magical number. Now, there's no magic in the numbers. I found that out. It doesn't matter where you fast. 2 days, 2 hours, 2 minutes. It's the intent of your heart. Yahweh recognizes, sometimes if you have to struggle with your flesh, which is what I was doing at that time, I had to struggle. But there was something marvelous happened after I fasted 40 days. Particularly, I remember. And you say, what happened? And the answer is nothing. Now, that disappointed me like everything. Nothing happened when I fasted 40 days, except a great change of understanding. I wasn't blown away. I was praying for the Holy Ghost. I wanted to lay hands on people and let them receive the Holy Ghost. And I wanted a real deal. I wanted a real thing. I was not going to settle for anything fake or artificial. I wasn't going to shake anybody in the head and shake the Holy Ghost into them when it wasn't there. I wouldn't declare that was the Holy Ghost dealing with them when it wasn't. I wasn't going to fake my way through anything. I wanted the real, genuine, below the collar power. And when I got through fasting, the only thing I received is nothing. Now, let me explain this a little bit deeper on the subject. To empty yourself in a 40-day fast of everything till you have nothing in you, your flesh man has lost its desire, you're there just a vegetable state, then Yahweh can refill your tank or your body or your temple with everything. Now, let me repeat that. He has to empty you to the point you have nothing to fill you with everything. Can I repeat that? If you're a young man or woman, and I hope and pray tonight I have someone in the audience that is hungry to fast, I encourage you to fast. I encourage you to pray. Don't expect nothing. Expect to be emptied of everything so you can be filled with nothing. The Spirit is the evidence of things not seen. I was amazed when I got this message. I really knew what it meant when I had that message, and it was only about a year. I began to grow. I didn't realize it. You know, it's like a glacier. You don't see it moving, but it does move. Constantly moving, but you can't tell it. It's so slow that the progress is not measured except over a measure of time. And so when I emptied myself, I prayed till I couldn't pray. I spoke until I couldn't speak. I'm telling you, when you go so long without food, you just lose words. You lose energy. You don't feel like saying nothing. There's not another thought that would come up in you. Oh, it's there. The desire's there. But you just don't have the energy and strength. And that's when you are at your weakest, He's at His strongest. I want to repeat that. When you are at your weakest point, when you fast your physical body down to where it doesn't have enough strength to respond to anything, it doesn't have any desire. People can be arguing and fussing, and if you were full of, I call it pee and vinegar, you know, when you're carnal or when you're full of food and energy and you know, and you like to get in one of those verbal shouting matches, and I'm telling you, when you fast, that is the most silliest, obnoxious sound in the world, is to fuss or to fight or to argue. You don't care. You don't have the energy. You got to save it. I would get up in the night and fall against the bed and the wall, staggering, knees weak, praying for deliverance, praying for guidance, praying for the strength to get up. I had to work. Praying for the strength to get up and go to work the next morning without my head swimming and me passing out. I said, Yahweh, do not let me shame you by passing out and being a sissy. I looked at it as being a sissy. If you can't take the heat, I had done, made up my mind to fast 40 days. If they would have had to carry me out of the plant in a stretcher, I was going to fast 40 days. And I did. By sheer desire. And when I got to that 40th day, waiting for that overwhelming Shazam, that electric magic, I didn't get a thing. Just another day. And I laid down that night after I ate a few scrambled eggs and burnt toast and butter. My throat had closed up and it was so sore I couldn't hardly swallow. But I laid there that night for the first time in 40 days with something in my stomach. And then I learned the process of how the body reacts to food and how thankful I was for it. How truly I wept. I cried uncontrollably. The tears flowed. They were genuine in appreciation for just a bite of food. It never happened to me in my life. I didn't take food that serious. Its meaning, its purpose. But man shall, I found this out, shall not live by bread alone. You know, when the Messiah was at his weakness, and I'm telling you all this, leading it to what Yahweh told me. Yahweh fasted 40 days. That's what inspired me to fast. Although he didn't drink anything. I had to drink water. I had to. I couldn't make it without it. I just wish I could have, but I couldn't. There ain't no way I could have made it. But here, he went 40 days and 40 nights without any bread or without any water. Moses had performed it, and so had Elijah. Three men, three witnesses that had done this, and all three of these men came from heaven. They were angelic messengers to the earth in flesh bodies. I'm going to repeat that. And I'm beginning to feel the Shekinah. All three of these men that fasted 40 days and 40 nights without bread or water, which they say is scientifically impossible to live without water. You can go that long without bread, but you can't go that long. They say the human body cannot live over 11 or 12 days without water till your kidneys shut down. Here, the Messiah my inspiration, Moses, my inspiration, Elijah. But I, at that time, I didn't know that all three of these were master beings that were assigned the mission and given an opportunity to incarnate from heaven. No man has ascended into heaven. Now let me repeat that. No man has ascended into heaven except he first come down out of heaven. That's what the Bible says. Here Moses had to come from heaven because he ascended into heaven. Here Elijah had to come from heaven because he ascended into heaven. Here the Messiah had to come from heaven because he ascended into heaven. Now then, if you're born, and all three of these were born with mothers by the natural process, there had to be an exception or an exclusion of these three men when it came to earthly fathers, including the Messiah, Elijah. He was the greatest prophet that ever walked. There was no greater prophet than Elijah, according to the Bible. And he changed personalities, or he changed flesh bodies, but retained the ability to have the same spirit. And I'm talking about John the Baptist, who ascended into heaven after he died. He was beheaded. It's marvelous how these angelic messengers work, either from heaven or on earth. They are divine messengers. And when you, as a mortal being, when you fast and pray, you draw near unto him, or unto that power, that river, that current of nothingness. Or nothingness. I guess that'd be a proper term. Nothingness. That's the only thing I found out in the 40-day fast. That I'd emptied myself of everything that I had till I became nothing. Oh, my. And then when I realized that I had potential growth to reestablish my life by learning, by understanding the process, I could become a better or more powerful man in relationship to the Creator, knowing and understanding, walking closer to Him, because I wasn't filled with tradition. I wasn't filled with lust for filthy lucre. I wasn't filled with man-made knowledge. I didn't even have an eighth grade education. I quit somewhere along the eighth grade. I didn't have any credentials. I was offered the chance to go to a seminary and learn how to preach. Probably I should have gone. However, I didn't. I spent my time on my face and fasting and praying and seeking Yahweh, and I got nothing for my effort. And by getting nothing, I found everything. Oh, it's a paradox. It's amazing. Oh my. It is truly amazing what you can get from heaven when you empty everything that you got from earth. When you bring your temple to Him empty, swept, ready to be filled with whatever comes from heaven. And so slowly, the knowledge and the transition and the transformation begin to be to such a point that I got so confused. I said, why have I done this? Now nobody won't listen to me. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. Everybody thinks I've lost my mind.
Everybody thinks I've gone foolish. Everybody thinks that I'm mad and beside myself when I say some of the things that I was saying and preaching some of the things I was preaching. Power, unspeakable power. These angelic beings have the power to walk beside you and slay thousands times 10,000. Now, I've done mention about the power of Samson, just a man that had been sent his orders before he ever come here. Before he was ever in his mother's womb, he was told not to put things in his temple that would interrupt this continuity or the flow of the Holy Shekinah. By being a Nazarite, the power was centralized or centered in his hair. I don't know why that's so, but it's still so in a woman. Her long hair is her power. It's her glory. And a Nazarite was, Samson was just a glorified female in a way. I mean, if you've seen him, he had never cut his hair until he lost his power. And Delilah was one of those dark angels sent for the very purpose of putting a stumbling block. Watch it. I said, putting a stumbling block in the way of a chosen vessel from his mother's womb. When Yahweh brings the effect, Satan brings the counter cause to interrupt the continuity or the flow of the Shekinah for which purposes. Now, it's true. Samson learned a lesson. He was chosen from his mother's womb before he ever went in his mother's womb. The angel gave him charge of what his mission was going to be and what his purpose was going to be, and he carried it out until he met Delilah. There's always an angel, some good and some bad. This is the problem. I can't say that all angels, whether we or an angel sent from heaven, preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. I'll repeat that. Whether we are an angel sent from heaven. Are you listening? Did you know that sometimes angels will come from heaven just to try you? Yeah. There is angels that literally volunteered to come to persuade people to do wrong. I'm telling you, it is incredible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is wonderful. Just exactly what Yahweh is doing for those that love him and those that would share the incredible experience of this angelic visitation. Some have entertained. Now, let me repeat it. Some have entertained angels unaware. And ladies and gentlemen, it is so marvelous. It is so wonderful. It's joy, unspeakable and full of glory, to be entertained by an angel when you know it. Now, Manoah, he didn't know it was an angel. He had to have a second visit. They may be standing on the side of the road hitchhiking without a leg. They may be wearing an old, raggedly, wet, soggy overcoat with just a little knapsack on their back. Their belongings packed in a little crude
knapsack. I'm telling you. You may pass up an angel of a blessing. Learn to know the time of your visitation. I'm going to repeat that now because this is very important. Learn to recognize the time of your visitation. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers.
Oh my, I felt that. I've had a stranger visitation a few times that came from the Kingsport. You may be visited. You may have a need. You may pray. You may give up. You may have a need. And Yahweh could have sent an angel and you passed him up by not knowing the time of your visitation. When you pray, keep your eyes open for a miracle. Expect a miracle. Demand a miracle. By your words, you're justified, and by your words, you're condemned. Stand in the way. See and ask for the old path. And when you find it, you might have a friend that would stick closer than a brother. You might have something in mind for Yahweh, and Yahweh might have something in mind for you. If you seek Him, expect Him, because He's going to show up. If you love Him, keep His commandments. If you love Him, walk upright. Sanctify your body and mind and soul. That's what they were doing when they were praying. When Yahweh raised up angels in their day to stand by their side, He still got those same angels. Not one of them have aged one day. That's the miracle. That's the sign, and that's the wonder. He is Yahweh. He's walking on the water in your life. As the song says, He's coming back for a people that's kept the faith and ain't denied His name. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey on the late call from the great state of Mississippi. Brother Mark and Sister Audrey send you this. The message is about angels. Let us pray for them because we dearly need them. If my people are to call by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, I'll send the angels. They'll heal your land. They'll turn the enemy to the borders and disperse them. They'll come against you one way, and they'll flee seven. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. That's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. You write me tonight. I need your help. I need your support. We struggle. We're just poor Tennessee dirt farmer trying to preach a little bit about an angel tonight. Write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Just put Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight around the world on WWRB, the transmitting jewel of the South, at 423-626-2172. Now, this message will be posted on our website at oneyahweh.com. Brother Bob keeps reminding me to tell you about our website. It's also simulcast there live if you'd like to go. If you don't want to go to the internet, go to our website, oneyahweh.com. Click on Listen Live. And we're going to try to make it more user-friendly and show you where those boxes are to click on to listen to us. But you can listen there because Bob has had it posted for you. And
May Yahweh richly bless you. May He ride with you. And may He walk beside you. And may the 10,000 fall at your side that's against you. On the left hand, and may Yahweh prosper you in your seeking. May there be a blessing for you, and may Yahweh always stand with you in all that you labor to do. Let's keep the faith. Let's don't deny His name. Let's wait for the promise, and let's stand up as sheep of His fold. Let's don't be deceived. Let's take the time and wait on Yahweh. And what's the Bible say? He said that He would give us the desires of our heart. May Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Friday night. This is Wednesday night. This is Tuesday. I'll see you tomorrow night. Praise Yahweh. I'll see you tomorrow night with part 3 of Angelic Visitations. We're going to tell you how they're going to come in the last days. You don't want to miss it. Yahweh bless you. And we'll see you tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, around the world on WWRB.